Hello everyone, welcome back to Tea Time with Tea. I'm your host, Teresa. I can't believe this year is almost at an end. If you're looking for that final boost of energy or motivation to make moves, this episode is for you. My guest, Wen Shi, is a real estate superstar. She shares her journey into the industry and the defining moment that made her go for it. Let's get into it. Wen Shi, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm so excited to get into all the things. You have a super diverse background, and we're going to touch on all of that. But first, I kind of want to just talk to you about you being born in China, living in Florida, and understanding your journey on how you landed in the greatest city of all, New York City.
Yeah, sure. So I was born in China. I was born in a town called Tianjin, very like industrial port town. And then my mom was an interpreter. So my mom would always lead tours for people who came from America. She studied English back in the day. Everybody laughed at her and said, why would you learn another language? Why would you learn this language called English? Silly. But that's what brought us essentially to America, right? So then she got hired by a travel agency in Sarasota, Florida.
Amazing.
So she left when I was 8 years old. She came to America. She worked 3 jobs for 2 years. Wow. So that we can all come here. So that we can have a better life. And we still believe this is like the land of opportunities. So that's how I ended up in Florida.
That's crazy. So your mom left China, moved to Saratoga for...
Sarasota. Everybody does it.
For her job opportunity.
Yeah.
And then how old were you when you moved to...
So I was 10 when I moved.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And was your mom also like teaching you English in China as well?
No. I moved here a day later. She's like, honey, you're starting elementary school.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that experience like coming to a new country, not knowing the language? And mom, also, how do you teach yourself?
I'm like, you've been learning this since you were 18. Maybe you could have like dropped some like, you know.
Yeah.
It was like very weird, obviously, because you don't speak the language at all. I started school like 2 days after. But it was good. Math is a universal language. Had a great time in math class. English was a little tough.
I love that. And then, so from Florida, did you do elementary school, middle school, high school, college also?
Yeah. So college brought me to New York.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was a teenager, when I was 16, I was looking, just watching TV, and I always had this like glamour dream of, you know, like I think the first person I ever watched back in the day before E was E News, it was actually called the Style Channel.
Did I just give away my age? I don't know that
so
one.
So they would like live stream all of the couture shows from Europe. So my first two fashion shows was Tom Ford and Valentino.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I am going to fashion.
Yeah.
So that brought me to Parsons.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that, I don't know that TV show. I definitely grew up on E and Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers, she's amazing.
Just like doing all her critiques, good and bad and ugly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's really cool. So you kind of like from that TV show, watching like the runways, all the things, kind of led you into this fashion industry.
Yeah,
and
I wanted to be a designer. So
do you still want to be a designer?
No, I feel like I did it. I feel like now I'm just designing people's lives instead of their clothes. Yeah. No, I feel like I did it. I think I had a really good time. I had like an amazing time in fashion. Worked for some amazing companies.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great time. I felt like it was like time to move on to something else.
What kind of made you, because you have your fashion and, no, it was design and marketing.
Yeah, so I started out in fashion design. So that was my first thing. So just creative, like designing clothes. So my first job really after college was working for Theory. So I don't know for anyone who knows Theory, they're like one of the best contemporary brands. They do amazing tailor suits. That's how Andrew Rosen started the company. I soon went into it. I volunteered to do a transformation role for our luxury division in Japan. It was a division that was about to go deep into the hole. So like a deep deficit, it was about to be killed off. So they needed a complete revamp. Nobody really wanted to take on another full position designing a whole collection. So I was just like, I was like an assistant designer. I was like, I'll do it. So like I would do it on my weekend. I took the DNA of Theory and then I turned that brand around to 125% increase in sales within a year.
That's insane.
So when I did that, I was like, wait a second. I was like, I really like doing, you know, having all of the different hats, doing, you know, the marketing points and the press points and like what we're going to talk about, what this collection is about, how much money is it going to make. I always bugged the sales and merchandising people for all of the data and the sales tracking. So I always had like a bit of a knack for like the business side as well.
Was that, were you already, because I know you also went to Columbia School of Business.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did marketing, certification. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Was that like before, were you already like kind of doing all of the groundwork before you decided like, let me go to Columbia and try to like step up my education and step my level up?
I think that it just kind of like came to me. So I feel like within fashion, I was kind of like hitting a bit of a roadblock. I feel like I was hitting a bit of a salary block as well. I kind of hate to say because sometimes I think like you should always like chase your dreams. And, you know, like I had a good time, but I was just like, I feel like there was a ceiling and I was like, what else is there? I think that earlier on, really earlier on, all of before there was like this true like creator economy and influencer, a couple of my friends worked in media. You know, they would be at like Condé Nast and like we would always just like hang out on the weekends and talk about, you know, different things that we were really interested in. And I had to write these marketing points. So like if I designed a coat and it was a different shape for this season, I have to write why and like why it's different and like why somebody should buy it. And then we have to translate that to, you know, two different offices. So it was basically doing like the press points. And then I was always, you always do like the Photoshop and all the graphics part anyways. So I just felt like a natural kind of like knack for the marketing side. And I felt like that was a really good way to transition. So I just did it to kind of see if I liked it. And then I kind of fell into like a role after. Yeah.
You definitely embody marketing to me.
Yeah.
Because when I met you, we were at 53 West 53.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you were an agent at that time. Because you were just so nice and bubbly and you were walking around like, oh, do you want to take like me to take a photo of you there? Yeah. And you're like positioning people. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
I was really... like, who wants their Instagram photo taken? And like free labor here.
Free labor, all the things. But I really thought, I was just like, wait, she's probably like a social media person because you just do such a good job at that as well. But it's like really cool to kind of hear that you wear all of these hats and you have all of these skills in your back pocket.
Yeah.
So I am curious because we both work in the real estate industry and that's how we met each other. And I love that. But I am curious kind of your journey from wearing all of these different hats, experiencing all of these different roles in education, and then transitioning into real estate, which is 100% commission. But the beauty of it is that there isn't any ceiling here.
Yeah.
Like you could go and go until you decide like, okay.
1,000%.
Yeah. So want to hear more about your journey into this industry and how much you're liking it so far.
This crazy industry that we're in. It's a constant roller coaster. Let's see. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for a story?
I'm ready for the story. I want all the tea. I have mine ready to go.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'll drop the tea. Okay, so when I was 19, I moved out of, you know, you move out of the dorms, mm-hmm. and then you realize how expensive New York is.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I have to pay for all of this on my own. Okay, what do I do? So I called my realtor who found me my apartment at the time, and I'm like, Charles, I need a part-time job. And he literally said to me, he said, oh, there's like a new building on like 37th Street, so just call them. I took him quite literally. I called the billboard, the advertisement for the new, it was a new development by TF Cornerstone. It was a rental development.
Love a TF Cornerstone building.
In Midtown. And I called the billboard. I cold called a billboard at 19. I literally, I don't know how, I got through all the way back to the district portfolio manager. And they're like, why are you calling me? And I said, I need a part-time job. And I heard that you have like a new building somewhere. And, you know, are you hiring? Literally, that's what I said. I didn't know the word real estate, didn't know what it meant, didn't know anything. And then like 2 weeks later, I was interviewing. And she's like, you start in a week. And I said, great.
I'll take it.
So that's how I started. So I never thought of like doing it full time. Like real estate always like happened for me, like not something that I chased. Because I think when I was younger, I was always like very singular.
Mm-hmm.
I was always like, I want to be a fashion designer. So like and everything was like singular, like a racehorse, you know, with the blinders on. Yeah, because like I didn't apply to any other schools. Like I actually, my junior year in high school, I got like an award to like encourage me to apply for Columbia School of Architecture. Like they give you like a set of like special books like signed. And I was like, whatever. I was
no,
like, fashion.
Thank you.
I was like very singular. But like real estate always like happened for me at the most like odd like times, like in a very good way. So. Yeah. So then, like, I ended up, I worked for TF Cornerstone, so I opened that development up. It was super fun. And then I worked for Rose Associate for their Chelsea, I don't know if you know the building, Chelsea mm-hmm. Landmark on 25th.
I do. Yeah.
It's a great, well-managed, beautiful building. Yeah. I really like Rose a lot. And then from there, like, I just did like advisory. Like I would just refer people out. If a friend was like, I need to buy something, I need to sell something, I would just refer it out. And then I think around the time of COVID, I was in marketing, and then I was just thinking, I'm like, what do I really want to do? And I always loved real estate. I always told people like I would do it for free.
Don't do anything for free.
Yeah. And right. Yeah, so then I got introduced to the executive vice president of Douglas Elliman, who brought me into the company. So
amazing.
That's how I got into it. Part-time initially. Yeah.
Part-time initially.
Yeah.
And you weren't, were you, did you have a license, or did TFC like say like, hey, you need to get licensed in order to to get this job in developing like our property?
At the time, if you're hired full-time on the corporate side, like mm-hmm. you would need to get it at some point. So mm-hmm. I think I got it by the time I was at Rose Associates.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And what was kind of like your day-to-day, like working for, those are two really big management companies.
Yeah.
You're 19 years old.
Yeah.
And like starting,
yeah.
to me, like at such a high level.
Yeah.
What was your day-to-day like, or what was going through your head as you're conducting like your job?
Yeah, well, thank you. I didn't think of it. I was just like, I need money for college. I think that it was really fun. I think it was really good to learn. I think I liked it from like a management perspective, and just like always, like every single person is different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like you would have like 8 appointments and you show like 5 different layouts. Like I still remember to this day in that development, like the B line was like the best corner for like conversions. You can mm-hmm. cause you can convert a full living room out and you still have a full window, right? Like you still remember. I remember the second floor studios were starting at $19.95 a month.
Wow.
So for under $2,000 you could have a studio with your own outdoor space.
Insane. What year was this again?
Oh my god. Oh my god, what year was this?
Oh my gosh.
This was like a really long time ago.
Okay, we're going to say a really, 09, really long time
09,
ago.
2010.
Whoa, that's crazy.
I know.
Because fast forward to now, and your rental prices for a studio is $3,500 and higher.
I know. We're averaging like what, four? We went from like $4,000 to like $5,200 medium price in New York for rentals.
It's insane.
I know.
But people still want to live here.
Everybody wants
to. And they're thriving and they're loving it.
They are thriving.
And like clearly, like you're
thriving.
Thank you. You're thriving. No, you are. But clearly, like you had to. Do you feel, because of course it's like going back to passion and what really drives you and drives your soul. Do you think at some point, let me backtrack for a second. How long did you work in development with TFC and Rose before you, like, did you ever go back to the fashion world, or was it all keep going with them until?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did those like really between when I wanted to take breaks, like between jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So TF Cornerstone was something I did throughout college. And then Rose was kind of when I took a break. I did a temporary relocation to LA to help somebody start a brand. I came back. I was freelancing at Amazon. So Amazon had just brought their entire e-com studio to Kent Avenue.
Oh, wow.
By what is now near the Williamsburg Hotel, like on the waterfront. Back in the day, it was like there was nobody there. You literally have to take a train and walk 20 minutes because there was like nothing. But they would, I mean, to see that business, it's amazing. They had a 100 photo booth going a day, so, and 100 pieces to shoot per photo booth. And that's just a New York location.
That's insane.
Isn't that amazing for e-commerce? So but I was there, and then I was freelancing. So I was just like, I don't take vacations often. Like, I don't really take a lot of days off. I'm not somebody who takes huge breaks. So when I do, I'm like, I'll try something else.
Yeah.
And then later on, before joining Doug Solomon, I was in marketing, and I freelanced in luxury for the Natural Diamond Council.
Very cool.
So I was like marketing diamonds. So
I love that.
Yeah. One of my really good friends and she's like also like my mentor. She taught me everything I know in marketing. Maya Z. She's like brilliant. She's responsible for one of the most like amazing fragrance campaigns of all times for L'Oreal. So she taught me everything I know. She brought me in. We grew that website to 125 million visitors within a year.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I was having a great time. Then I got recruited to work oddly in partnership marketing for enterprise division and emerging tech in the blockchain field.
I feel like this is like, we need to call Jorge back because he's like our tech person.
So and if he's into the blockchain, like, we can talk later.
Oh no, you definitely need to talk to him about like blockchain and crypto, which I know you kind of dabble in it.
Yeah.
And like the tech world with girls.
And then I do Girls in Tech, which I believe in giving back. But yeah, no, I had a really great time in tech. The tech community is like super tight and everybody's like really encouraging of each other. It's really collaborative.
I love that.
And then with tech, it was cool to work in emerging tech and be part of a startup and just see a company kind of get to like a unicorn status, which is like really rare. But I was working until like 2 a.m. I loved everybody that I worked with. And then I just kind of like hit a wall where I was like, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
Like, how do I have like my own business? And like, how do I do it for myself? And just kept really thinking about real estate. And I was like, even back when I was in fashion, I was like stalking new developments that would go up.
Yeah.
Like, I got myself into, like, the Lantern House sales gallery and party. Like, I'm like, how, you know.
Before you were even in it.
Before I was in it.
That's insane.
It was like, there was, like, no reason why I should have been there. But I was just like, I really need to see this development.
The Lantern House is really
Lantern House.
Yeah.
It's really also pretty. One of the best. If you got in at a really great time, it's one of the best new developments. If you bought a one-bedroom during COVID, I think you would have made about $1 million by now.
Insane.
New development.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's wild. I love how you said, like, I just got myself into, like, these events and just kind of stalking new developments all the way through, even without having a license, and it just kind of shows like how passionate you are about this industry. For me personally, it's always been about the people. Like, I just, like, I love this. I love, like, just communicating and how am I making a difference in someone's life. And I 100%. Find that, like, super fulfilling and so fun. But definitely the new dev world, and, like, we see some crazy properties. And it's exciting and it's so fun. At the same time, like, our jobs can be very challenging time and very demanding.
Especially in the current climate.
100%.
It's a tough year.
So I think you definitely need to be a tough cookie to get through it.
Yeah.
And to really, this is the time where our clients needs us the most.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, every deal, I think, needs a lot more hand-holding. Mm-hmm. Like, it's... I think everybody across the board feels it. You need, like, to do 10 times as much work to get a deal across the finish line today.
Yeah.
At all price points. And you have to kind of, like, take care of your clients a little bit more. You have to educate them more. Everybody. And there's so much in the press. There's so much in the media about how our city's still falling apart since 2020. Like, right? According to everybody in the world, our market has been down the drain since 2020. Nobody says that. I've been in a bidding war as early as August of 2020, right? All of the new developments were selling out like crazy. Yeah. If you bought right during COVID, you killed it in investment, right? And nobody says that, like, more people moved here than those who moved out. They don't talk about the people who kept their residences.
Or the people that came back.
Second or third.
Yeah.
People that are starting to move back. Every single week, 2 to 3 people are like, I need a home in New York. I'm downsizing. I'm tired. I don't want to live upstate anymore.
Or in Boston.
People are moving back, right? Yeah. People are moving back. So there's always people coming here for school. So it's still a dream city. It's still one of the best, I think, cities to also hedge if you're afraid of where your funds are going to go and if there's value. So it's think that it's a safe place. Exactly. Yeah. It's still a safe place to put your money and to invest still.
100%. And I also feel like I feel that there's a place for everyone here too. Yeah. In terms of neighborhood and diversity and just a little bit of something for everyone, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
Shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about your travel adventures because I know you mentioned that you don't take off too often.
I don't.
But I think when you do, it's probably amazing because I have here, and let me know if I missed anything, but Paris, Tokyo, Kyoto. Sorry, I was like, Kyoto. I'm making up my own countries here. Copenhagen, Dubai, London. All the places. Have I missed anything from this list?
Oh my God. I was such a jet setter before I came into the real estate industry. No, I'm just kidding.
We were like, what happened?
This year has been like just hustling. People's like, where are your travel pictures? And I'm like, where? Yeah. I just, I loved it. Like, I was going to Japan for work for about 5 years. So I was going there 2 to 4 times a year.
Wow.
So I got to travel a little bit around Japan. I love the Japanese culture. It's probably one of the most beautiful cultures when you get a chance because it's unique in its own. And I think that one of the things that's amazing about their culture is like they preserved their culture. So like tea ceremony and how they give gifts and how they hand out a business card. All of these things has a culture that's historical and long preserved. So I think there's something beautiful about that, right? When you go to Japan, you see the cars, their trucks, they look like toy cars. They still make their own. So I think things like that are really, really beautiful. But yeah, I love to travel. I don't know if it came from my mom because she was a travel like interpreter. But I love it. I used to go to London twice a year. I lived in London a little bit before Brexit. Obsessed. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So traveling, living in different places, is there, I know you mentioned Japan is probably one of your favorites. Is there any place on your bucket list that you're dying to go to?
Oh. There's like so many. I don't know about you on Instagram. Are you starting like folders?
Mm-hmm.
My folders are starting to get out of control.
Yeah.
No, but I love it. I have a bunch of places. Oh my God. I want to go to like, I want to go to South America, Peru, the Salt Flats in Bolivia. I want to go to Iceland. Where else? I'd love to go to Saudi Arabia and Marrakesh and South Africa. So many places.
Yeah. It sounds exciting.
Yeah.
When are you going to take us with you on your travels?
Yeah, when I close out on my new doves next year.
We need to get like all our deals will close.
Yeah, we'll do a big safari trip together. Yeah.
Oh man, that'll be so fun. What I guess like for traveling wise, outside of food and culture, is there anything else that you find super exciting? And I'm like thinking about your answer. I'm like, of course she's gonna probably say, of course the fashion. But is there anything outside of fashion, food, culture that's super exciting when you travel, or things that you do when you travel?
Let's see. I think, so I'm one of those people, I do it here too. I'm one of those people, I'll literally go up to the street and I have like zero awareness. I'll talk to everybody. So I love to just talk to people who live there, like locals. Mm-hmm. And just, I'm so curious, like, how do you live? How much is your home? I'd like to know where they would like to go. So like when I go to Tokyo, like my friends there will take me to a bar you can never find if you Google the travel top bars to go to in Tokyo. So I think those are the best, because like you said, people really make the place. So I'd love to see a place through a local person's eyes.
Yes.
When I travel. And then I think I'm kind of like a traveler that just goes down like a random path. Like, yeah. I like to do the most random things. I try to horseback ride in every single place I've been to. So I'll always look for like a random place where I can do a ride.
Love that. And yeah. I know you did like, you were part of, or you did horseback riding in New York City, and in Japan, you were part of like clubs for both.
Oh my God. I don't know if I can join a club. I'm not like, I'm not that bougie. I can't keep a horse there. No, but I didn't want to do the touristy things, but I did want to see Mount Fuji. So I only had one Sunday that I wasn't working. So I found this place in Gotemba where if you actually took a bus from Tokyo, it's like about an hour out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a stable that's about, it's like in the background. You can see Mount Fuji while you ride.
That sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I've never done horseback riding.
Yeah.
It's on my list of things that I want to do.
Let's go.
New York. There is like where I grew up in Far Rockaway. I think there's like a little riding place out there.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. We might explore that together.
We'll explore.
That'll be exciting.
We will.
Okay.
I fell into it much later in life. I like didn't grow up riding or anything. I did it by accident when I was traveling, and then I loved it. So I just, for me, it's like a calming place whenever I get a chance. I don't do it as much this year.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend, Jessica, she does hunter jump in West Hampton. So she's really inspired me a lot because that's like the next step, like once you train.
Yeah.
The basics. But learning to ride horses is very interesting. I think the first lesson my trainer said, I was like, you have to learn how to get the horse to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I feel bad saying this. I was like, I just kept kicking. I was like, my horse is not moving.
Yeah.
And she said something that always stays with me, and it's like in business too. She was like, it's really hard to move a 1,200-pound animal.
Mm.
You got to work with it, right? So it's kind of like business. Like, you can't control anybody else.
It's
you just
so got to
move with it. So
I love that.
Yeah.
That's some good tea. From her. I like it. Is there, because you've had a few different mentors,
mm-hmm.
is there anything that kind of stuck out to you, like any advice that your mentors mm-hmm. have shared with you that you could share with us that similar to your riding instructor?
let me see. I would say I've worked for some amazing mentors with really amazing work ethic. I would say most people would not be able to keep up. I would say, like, one, they always care like 100 times more. It doesn't matter if they're the employee of the company, if it's their own company, they care 100 times more. I remember my friend Maya, who taught me everything in marketing, she would be up until 1 or 2 a.m. doing all of the work before a campaign. And everybody was always willing to roll up their sleeves. So I think, like, work ethic is really important. And I think if you work for one of these individuals, I think it's just, I believe in, like, a no complain and no explain mentality. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I joined Fran's team, for example, I was just like, whatever she puts me on, I just say yes. Like, my answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no complaining, no explain, and you just do it. And then to just always, like, push. I think, like, never settle.
Yeah.
Is really important. I'm somebody who goes off of my values, right? So it's like, I believe in always providing a best in class service, right? In design or marketing, it's like, okay, if we're going to put, like, brands like Cartier in an article, it's like the design has to be the best in class, mm-hmm. not second, the best. Can a photo be cropped better, right? Like when we wrote about the launch of, like, Formula One, we did this whole, like, style article recap on what, like, Lewis Hamilton, like, wore, like, you know, off the racetracks. And I'm like, no, like, this photo has to be cropped differently.
Yeah.
And you always have to stand for that for yourself and in the workplace, right? And I think the third thing is to just, like, not overthink. Like, I tend to be a bit more of, like, a strategy overthinker, mm-hmm. like, you know, and I think coming off of marketing, you think a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things this year, Fran was like, no, just go do it.
Yeah.
She's always like, just do it and stop overthinking, because otherwise we're in our own head. We get ahead of our own head, you know, ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't end up taking action. So I think this year, just, like, taking action, like, first is, like, really important.
So true. Yeah. That was kind of one of my goals this year, mm-hmm. to not be an overthinker.
Yeah.
And
it's hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, going back to our industry, we can get in our head so much.
100%.
But there's the saying, done is better than perfect.
Yes.
And 100%. I try to just go by that, but also kind of similar.
It's so true.
Yeah,
it's so true.
It's done is better than perfect. But I think being detail oriented, yeah. or having, like, a certain eye for certain things.
Yeah.
I know specifically when we're on photo shoots for listings, that's probably my favorite part of the job,
yeah.
because you are going in and you're creating,
yeah.
a moment for when a client comes in,
yeah.
and with the state, whether that's staging or virtually staging,
yeah.
but also just, like, moving things out of the way,
yeah.
taking the coffee cup off the counter.
I noticed so many listings that don't.
Yeah.
I love that you say that,
because, yeah.
that means a lot, and it's going to provide so much more value for the,
yeah.
sellers,
yeah.
and it's going to be, because you could look at something as just a photo shoot, or you could look at it as an experience for your buyers.
Yeah.
Like, the way you put that is so meaningful.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I hate it when there's, like, a random pillow out of place on a listing, and I'm like, you couldn't have gone over there and just fixed,
yeah.
the pillow. Like, do it. Like,
yeah.
you know.
Or,
yeah.
the bed being not made, like, it's
half made,
yeah.
like, random.
I'm,
yeah.
like, mm,
yes.
We could move the sheets.
I know.
Let's make it look like a hotel. Like,
yeah.
we can make it pretty.
It's always the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Always.
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 I love that. I love that so much. We're gonna get into a few, like, rapid fire slash,
okay.
just
Uh-oh.
Regular get to know
am I
when
allowed to plead
question.
The fifth? Can I call a friend?
Oh, you could call a friend.
Do I get a lifeline?
I don't think we ever had anyone call a friend
I'm
in the pop.
Kidding.
I would love that. We're like, let them tell us the tea. I'm ready for it. But before we get into our rapid fire slash long short term Hold on, let me say that again. Before we get into our rapid slash short form questions, I do love, 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 love this about you. Mm-hmm. The fact that you volunteer at so many different places, mm-hmm. and you're also giving back to so many places as well. I'll name a few. New York Cares, New York Junior League, New York State Mentor Program. There's probably a laundry list of a bit more. And I just wanted you to kind of talk a little bit about why it's so important to you, mm-hmm. to volunteer and to give back your time, but yeah. also curious of how you find the time as well.
I think I got into it because I started a little bit. I started a little bit young. I think that, you know, when we first came to America, like after work, you know, my parents worked a lot and they still do. So like after, you know, after school programs were really important. So like my parents would have me at the, you know, I would be at like the Boys and Girls Club and things like that. And those programs are, you know, it's good because it kind of keeps you out of trouble. So I think that is always important. And then I think I sat on the Sarasota Committee of Women for kind of a school term. I think you're allowed to do it as part of our high school. So I think just the importance of community and also making an impact is really important. So I think that with Junior League, what the impact that it made for me was, we were volunteering with I think it was a 92K, right? And we were developing culture and art and culture programs for kids after school. And this is through the New York Mentoring Program, mm-hmm. what is now part of Mentoring USA. And, you know, the hardest thing for these kids is, like, you don't know if they're in foster care. You don't know if they're going, you know, they're in a home with domestic abuse. You don't know where they're coming from, or they're in a very underserved community. So when I always remember this. So like, it was like the session we do once a week, and it was right before, I think, the holidays. And they ask every kid to stand up and say, what is your biggest goal next year? So when you hear somebody in fourth grade say, like, my biggest goal is to pass fourth grade, mm-hmm. going into like Christmas or something, like, I think that's where you're like, okay, well, what we're doing matters, right? Because mm-hmm. we're helping them, or we're making sure that they know somebody cares about them. You know, and I think that what's important to me is, like, when I went to college, like, I actually, so Parsons, I think, cost just as much as like NYU. I think it was like 40,000, give or take. Mm-hmm. So like, I did my own financial aid. I did my own financial aid, but I got a lot of scholarships from local communities. And I think that I wouldn't be able to, and like, it would have been a much more expensive program throughout, mm-hmm. if I didn't have those support. So I think just like giving back and giving back to communities, I just think it's important because it takes you outside of yourself, yeah. and then it makes you realize what's really important. So then like every day when you're just like complaining about something, or like, I didn't get my coffee, or this didn't go so well. And then there's like a kid who's worried about whether they're going to be able to like finish school.
Yeah.
I think you kind of shift what you care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely like put things into perspective, but also makes you realize how grateful we are and yeah. how many opportunities that we have, whether we created those opportunities yeah. for ourselves, or yeah. if, you know, a door opened and it led into it. But
yeah.
It is a nice reminder. And I think for me personally, I started doing the 5-minute journal.
Oh, I love that.
Which is a nice...
Tell me more.
It's like for those days
yeah.
when things aren't going 100% right. It's just a nice little reminder to go back and like, recap, what were the positives yeah. in your days? And also just starting the day off like that as well. Like, it just ask for like 3 positive things that you're grateful for in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful, because when you start your day with gratitude and you end it with gratitude, you're just a much more appreciative person.
Yep.
I do think it takes practice, and we are human. And sometimes
we are, you know, we are human.
things happen.
I know. We're not sales machines.
We're not sales machines. We're not transitional. Like, this is this is life. It's real people. But I am very inspired that you do so much for your community and volunteering and giving back. And I think it says a lot about you as a person.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So now for some fun, rapid
questions. Okay, let's go.
Am I ready? You're so ready for it. Okay. These are fun. Okay. With the holidays coming up, and then, of course, just regular travels, we're manifesting some trips and vacations, maybe. What are your favorite travel essentials?
Oh my god, my travel essentials. Always my iPhone and my laptop.
Okay, we do not leave home without it.
Glued to our phones constantly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what do I love travel-wise? I try to always pack like a face mask or two, like just going from like, you know, like when I used to do trips to Japan, that's how like these women have amazing skin over there. They would just like mask every day. So now I try to take like one or two with me all the time.
Do you have a favorite mask that you recommend?
Oh, I think Korean skincare actually has some really good ones. They're actually not very expensive, like MediHeal, which you can pick up everywhere, like on Amazon. They're like $3-4 Those are really, really amazing.
Love that. Yeah. That's a fun little tip.
Yeah.
Favorite city that you visited? And actually, we do have the answer to that. So it's Japan, but, well, Tokyo.
I love Tokyo.
Yeah.
I love London.
And then outside of Tokyo and London, is there a third? Who's the third contender?
Oh, that's so tough.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've been to every single city I want to be in to be able to answer that yet. But I will say, I don't know. Like, Paris is always a beautiful place. Who doesn't love Paris? But Abu Dhabi was also a really beautiful place.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So that's our rolling three right now. Okay. And might change.
Might change.
So to be continued. We'll,
I know. More tea.
We'll get more tea in 2024. This is a deeper one.
Okay.
Any advice that you would give to your younger self?
Ooh. I think to like try more things, like to, cause I think I was very singular focused in my career. I would say like try more things.
I love that.
To just like not care. And cause I'm always very focused when I want something and I'm just like, I just go straight through. And I think to be open to try more things would be really good, especially if you're just like leaving high school, if you're just leaving college, you're not sure like what class to take, you're not sure what you should major in. Like I studied fashion and I'm selling real estate now, right? Yeah. Like I felt so bad because I was like, oh my god, we like spent all this money on school. Like, you know, I remember making like blouses with like 12 layers of chiffon and now I'm like, would you like to buy something? I'm selling this. Would you like to buy a home?
Yeah.
Do you need pre-approval? You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a complete 360.
Yeah. So it's so interesting you said that. Because going back before, it's just saying like studying fashion, having the blinders on, knowing exactly what you wanted to do from such a young age. That's super inspiring to me.
Yeah.
And I always, and I don't think it's envy. I just like always like, wait, how do you get there? How do you figure it out at such a young age? I know someone who wanted to be a doctor since they were 5 years old.
Oh my God, it's not there. It's definitely not there.
But it is super inspiring knowing. Mm. And I think there's a beauty in that as well.
Yeah.
Versus, I was the other person. I was that person where I'm like, I want to try everything.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wish I was like, I wish I had a lot of that when I was younger.
No, there was no stopping me. And I think even now, there is a little bit of that because life is long and I want to live it to the fullest and I want to do all the different things.
Yeah.
But at some point you're just like, okay, kind of have to.
Yeah.
yeah. chop chop here.
I think yeah. also, like, for anybody who's trying something, I think age doesn't matter. I think mm-hmm. that when you decide to make that switch, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think that if you want to go today from being in marketing to tomorrow being in sales, or even a larger switch where people don't see a connect,
yeah,
I think it's important to just, like, listen to your own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe in, like, pulling up a chair to the table. Like, forget about leaning in. Like, because, like, every time I wanted to switch jobs or switch careers, somebody from, like, a human resource department would always say how my resume doesn't qualify, or why do you think you could do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if everybody listened, no one would be able to make these pivots.
Yeah.
I love that book, Pivot. I don't remember the author, but I think she came from Google, and she mm-hmm. wrote the book Pivot. And she had these amazing examples of how people pivoted. And I think those are important in life. Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to have to add that to my reading list.
Yeah.
And find out the author for our listeners. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm always just like, wherever you're, and you know, you kind of always have, like, that gut instinct yeah. as well. Like, where's your gut telling you? Listen to it,
always.
Follow it. And the worst case scenario, you tried it, it didn't work out. It's fine. On to the next one. There's opportunities
yeah.
out there. You just have to be able to want to go after it.
Yeah.
And that's to ourselves, we're saying it too, but anyone who is just, like, feeling a little stuck at the moment, like, it's okay. Like, there are things for you to do.
Yeah.
Love that. Speaking of opportunities taking you to different places, you do a ton of business on, well, we're kind of all over the city. And I love that. But of course, working on both. You have listings on the Upper West Side, on the Upper East Side. Where does your heart tug you a little bit more? Like, which neighborhood does one identify with, love to sell in, mm-hmm. and like, you go to a certain listing and you're just like, oh, I just love being here.
Oh, that's like such a hard question.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I do have a bit more of a knack for new development all over the city. I am a sucker for Robert A.M. Stern at any time. I love enough Tully development.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe, I love the West Side by the High Line, like from Chelsea all the way down to Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
There was a really important article that got wrote right as the pandemic happened. I think it was May of 2020 by mm-hmm. Donna Ocean, who does the Ocean Reports every week.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's amazing is Google ended up buying their $2 billion office headquarters, right? The biggest ever purchase for office headquarters in mm-hmm. Tribeca. In the middle of a pandemic. And at the time, I think one of my first sales was in Lantern House, which I stalked before the pandemic. And then I did a deal and I was like, okay, I can say, like, check.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was a Thomas Heatherwick, who also designed the vessel and, like, these amazing architectures all over the world. So I do have a little bit of a knack for that kind of, for that neighborhood right by the High Line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that when I step into, like, a new development, and oddly, it's usually never finished.
Yeah.
When I step in, they're usually, like, raw, or, like, we're in a showroom and we're looking at a little, like, model that's yay big, like a dollhouse. And I'm really good with spatial
awareness.
Configuration. Yeah. I can look at things flat on a floor plan mm-hmm. and be like, no, by 9A, I'll rent it for that much. Like,
yeah.
I have an affinity for that. So I'm a little less emotional, but that's where I get really excited.
Yeah. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I think, speaking of construction, like, of course, you guys probably hear a little bit of drilling because I'm in a new development building and they're still finishing up some stuff. But yeah, just having that eye to walking into an unfinished new dev, there is a certain energy around it, but you definitely have to have the vision to see past the drill in and the mess and
it's,
the craziness.
It's hard. Yeah. You probably experience this a lot right now with your listing on 96. Yeah. And it's like sometimes everybody can walk in and then until it's fully staged.
Yeah.
But you make your money when you get it before it's all done up and topped out. That's where the opportunity is. But some people just can't see it until the kitchen's in and the sofa is where. And
it's so true.
Yeah.
It's such a special opportunity with Shane Boyle, who's lead agent. Mm-hmm. The 96th Street is his baby.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for Slice. Right? Slice Architect.
They're
is like amazing.
So good. Their project on 83rd Street.
Yep.
It's spectacular. But
which one?
250 East 83rd.
Yeah, the one that's topping out. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a sucker for that building. But with the 96th Street project, being able to, Shane and I, we climbed a ladder. There were no stairs. There were like ladders to get to different floors. So to be in it now and seeing how far the project has come along, it's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And we're closer to the finish line, so I'm excited for it.
You guys are there. It looks great.
Yeah. It's pretty. It's really cute. Pretty. Yeah. Our ending note on this lovely conversation, we always ask our podcast guests, in when you're feeling, and this again is to kind of like wrap back motivation and passions and all the things, when you're feeling down and out, because we have so much going on, but we definitely have our days where we might not feel like volunteering or picking up the phone or having to like travel to our listings.
Yeah.
How do you get out of a funk?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think, well, I mean, there are always days you're just like, oh my God, I need some extra concealer. So on the lighter side, you know, sometimes it's somewhere between like binging on Netflix and watching like Southern Charm on Bravo and catching up. You know, like watching the Bengals and the Bills game on last Sunday night really helped because I was like so tired. I was like doing open houses until 5 and I'm like, okay, I'm like, I need to watch it. I need to catch up on a game. But on the bigger perspective, I think that you get up and you do something for somebody else. So like if, you know, you could be having a bad day or something went off the rails with a deal, like then make that your priority, save the deal, like do what's right by your client. Or if it's a slow day or if you're just like not motivated, like maybe you go through your pipeline and you say, okay, like this family really needs to be in a home by next year, or the inventory is low. Even just like looking through, like, okay, maybe there's some off markets I can see if there's enough square footage for them come 2024. I think just going to do something for somebody, and you don't know what reaction you're gonna get, but I'd still just like the act of going into that mentality. I think that always helps a little bit. Then it's like at least you end your day and you're like, okay, like I did something today. Right.
I love that so much because it's selfless and like you're putting someone first, and I have not thought of it that way. I always and like again, there's no right or wrong answer to this question. It's just the thing that you do that really pulls you out of a funk. It's like sometimes it's like listening to music or look good, feel good, let me get up, let me shower, let me make my bed this morning. But I love the tip on and just like doing something for someone else and like making a difference for them, and that's really inspiring.
It could be something really little. It could be as easy as like a text saying, by the way, mortgage rates dropped half a point today, might be time to do a lock. Right, because everybody has so much going on. You don't know everybody's back end. You don't know what they're dealing with. So I think, well, I don't know. I love to work, right? So I can't
tell.
You know, like, I think always, like, also just going to the gym and just taking care of yourself on those days are important. Like, you take care of yourself, you take care of your clients, and, you know,
family and love people around.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect note on us to wrap up, but okay. I appreciate your time so much and for you to be on the podcast. Where can our listeners find you?
I think you can find me on Instagram. my handle's @_wenshi, WENSHI. Yeah.
Badass real estate mogul in the making.
And you too.
Oh my gosh. We're going to get there.
I'm
so excited it. I appreciate your time so much.
Of course.
This conversation.
Your energy is infectious. I'm obsessed.
Oh my gosh.
Obsessed.
So it's yours.
Yeah.
So it's yours.
Yeah.
I was just like, when I met you, I'm like, I just need to sit down with her and just like talk.
You have the best attitude. And thank this, we're in a service industry and you need that kind of energy, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try.
Yeah, you're fabulous.
Okay, this is gonna turn into compliment corners.
The compliment corners.
Oh my god, that's what we're gonna call the pod. Amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening to Tea Time with Tea, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.
You're so cute.